We had a collaboration with some Chinese scientists.
Here we have a vaccine. What is the problem? Get over it.
Now, if we do a really great job on new vaccines, healthcare, reproductive health services, we could lower that by perhaps 10 or 15%.
I hope that it can occur in a civil way. I mean civil in a special way, peaceful.
The biggest question, maybe in economics and politics of the coming decade, will be what to do with all these useless people.
I just see the need for such a dialogue, and I see the need for action. I see the need for a great reset.
We are 3 years, 11 months, and 25 days into 14 days to flatten the curve. Thank you for joining us today. I'm Johnny Empson alongside Ned. How are you, Mr. Wizard?
I'm fine. I just had a bit of a giggle watching Mr. Gary. Sorry. I should know better, shouldn't I?
Yes, by this point in time, yeah.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, I'll move my mic. Uh-huh. See?
You saw Mr. Gary. Yeah?
Yeah, making an ass of himself on his last week.
Uh-huh. He did run on the Democrat ticket, which their symbol is a jackass. So
yeah. Mr. Doomsday was spouting his usual shite and then basically said maybe we'd think better of Russia if they reduce their emissions.
Yes. Now I'm sure they're going to abide by that.
I'm sure it's going to make a big difference. And all the illegal war and everything else. And he was just put up there to spout one last bitch.
Yeah. Like I said, he'll take a board seat somewhere on some contract company and he'll make over $1 million a year just sitting there. Or he'll go to work for some climate think tank or something.
Maybe he'll get a Russian bullet. Maybe he'll get dragged up to the front line.
Maybe. I don't know. It's possible.
He's fodder.
Yeah. He has been since Vietnam.
The problem with him is even if you had a machine that could recycle meat, he'd be inedible. He's just beyond anything, that bloke. With several others I could name. But anyway. Now I shouldn't have looked at that 2 minutes before I sort of started. Anyway, I was going to start at home in Europe, if you don't mind.
No, by all means, you go right ahead. Is this going to be another Marty Foster pulling from the UK news thing, or is this just in general?
No, because they find Apple, didn't they?
Yeah, 2 billion is what they find. Yeah.
1.8 billion, be precise.
Oh, excuse me. Well, it doesn't matter because it's all going to disappear into the EU coffers, isn't it?
That won't even be 1.8 billion. Do you know what? Do you know why they did it?
To make a political statement, I guess.
Well, the thing was, right, if you look into it, Margrethe Vestager is the competition chief. And I wanted to see what she had to actually say about it. Basically, they reckoned a tech giant had broken EU antitrust rules for a decade. This has gone on for 10 years. Yeah. Now, Apple, in return, has said, well, we're going to appeal against this. Now, if you remember, back in 2020, Brussels gave Apple a big fine then. And I think that was quite high. And that was somewhere in the billion mark sort of thing. And that was in France for alleged anti-competition behavior. But after the appeal, it was revised down to 372 million.
Revised figure, right? Down to 372 million. So you think 1.8 is just a preliminary opening salvo and they'll bring
because
it down
Apple's
to...
Apple's been here before.
Yeah, of course.
Apple's been here before. But the thing was, it was Spotify who triggered this in 2019. They're the one who actually raised the first accusations, yeah? And this is what amuses me. The traditional part of the fine is about 40 million euros. That is what they should have, if they wanted to go down the lines, should have fined them. And obviously, and they went, well, this isn't going to even, it'd be like giving them a speeding ticket. They'll just laugh. So as a result, the commission increased the total fine to 1.8 billion euros because it's 0.5% of Apple's worldwide turnover in a year. Yeah. The commission said, we did this because they submitted inaccurate information anyway. And this will put it out there to warn everybody else. But I bet that fine comes down to next to nothing.
I'll bet it comes down to next to nothing, too, and I'll tell you why. This just dawned on me, and I'll bet they're using this as a pretext to go after Elon Musk with Twitter.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's my guess. Probably will. But the thing is, there was a deadline this week for all other companies to comply with the new Digital Market Act, because this is what Europe's put out there. So this was their little warning to all of them. They used Apple. And the act has already made Apple propose changes to its iOS software so that other competition stuff can be allowed. So, yeah, it's a total manipulation. We'll see what comes out of it. Probably nothing, like most things.
Yeah. Did you see that Von der Leyen is back on the ballot? She's going to be up for another term as president of the commission, yeah.
Yeah. If she gets in, well, you know, it's a farce.
Oh, of course it is. I think it's a farce that she's there in the first place.
Well, she shouldn't still be there.
No, she shouldn't. Not after.
She can openly hold on to information that was complicit to fraud.
Yes, that's exactly what I was going to say. The secret agreements that she had between her and Pfizer, just that alone, not to mention the Moderna and everything else.
Yeah. Whatever went between her and whatever medical advisors and everything else. There was something else they tried to push in the EU law, which Germany and Italy stamped on the other day.
Oh, that's good. What was it?
That was basically the EU is trying to push a law that makes companies within Europe complicit to whatever their suppliers are doing. So if their suppliers are, say, doing wrong things, you will be fined because you're liable, you're complicit to it because you're buying things
wrong. Hang on a minute. I can understand why the Germans and the Italians stomped on that. Every other country should have stomped on it too. Because how on earth are you supposed to now be the eyeball on your suppliers, on all of your suppliers as a small business? Exactly. How insane is that?
Oh, by the way, the trouble is they're still pushing this through, and they said they're going to come back with a compromise. And what I found the compromise was, that's not a compromise at all. This was aimed at, companies with 500 employees or more and 150 million euro turnover. So that's a lot of companies.
That is a lot of companies. That's whatever's left over after the enemy bombing raid that they had called COVID to destroy small businesses.
But their compromise is that, the companies now have to have at least 1,000 employees and 300 million euros turnover. That's not a compromise. That's saying you're still going to push the same shit.
And on top of that, Bruce and I were looking at something out of the WBCSD, which I don't know if you're familiar with that yet, but we're going to be talking about it in the coming months and years. What that is the World Business Council for Sustainable Development. That's what it stands for. Oddly enough. If you go to their website, WBCSD.org, it is everything 2050. It has nothing to do with 2030. It is everything 2050, right?
We knew they were going to move the goalpost.
Yes, we're assuming that they are going to be coming online after 2030 or as a successor to the WEF, the World Economic Forum. Why do we think that? Because Bruce pulled up their home office, and guess where it is? Literally right across the street from the World Economic Forum and Klaus Schwab's office.
Yeah. I'll just move across. Sides of the street.
They already do. It's on the same campus. And it is. You couldn't make this up. And here's the thing. They are now pushing for QR code, business passports, just like a COVID passport.
Yeah.
That is championed by them, the WBCSD, on companies the size that you're talking about, with 200 to 1,000 employees.
That's mad, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a QR code ID pass, like business passport system, to do business directly with their suppliers.
Yep.
So there you go.
It's all about controlling, and they're going to strip it. It's that everybody's changing. That's why Fink was changing over from ESG to transitional investments and everything else. Everything's just going to get another name and another push. But this year, I warned people that your budgets that people think they're going to be aren't going to be, because of the debt your country is, it's going to be, your policies are going to be owned and pushed by corporate finance now. And that's what it is. France is the latest one to come up to that, because they haven't achieved their GDP deficit, and so they're going to have to anchors down and try and everybody is in debt, and to get back to where you're supposed to be is just nigh on impossible, especially when the EU's got its idea that everybody's going to be down to 3% of the national output deficit, 3% they reckon by the next couple of years. It's not going to happen.
2030, I'm sure.
It's not going to happen. Because you've got all this, as long as you're still doing this green financing, this climate. In fact, climate change should be followed up with, there is no change. It's a money pit. It's a climate charge.
Well, it is.
It's a climate charge, isn't it? It should be called climate charge, I think. You know, they should add that to the title of it now.
But wait till they fit your car with one of these black boxes, like they have a transponder for an airplane, and you have to be taxed by the mile that you drive.
Oh, it's okay. It's okay. No, everybody will have their own permit number plates, remember?
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. So you'll pay to have the number plate, and then you'll get charged per mile.
Charged for it. And if you leave, if you leave your place, you'll be charged 70, what was it, £70, you said, for the journey?
Yeah. It's £70 fine or whatever else it'll start with, won't it? And then it'll go out from there.
It'll start with.
Yeah. You know that something else happened in Europe the other day. Spain got up in arms. They finally got
farmers.
Cheesed off.
They're farmers.
No,
upset.
No. Yeah, no, it's else? Not farmers. No, yeah. They got totally peed off with this, you know, the world currency that, was it Sam Altman? Is it Sam Altman that's bringing it?
Sam Altman,
some
yes.
Cryptocurrency project.
Yeah,
it's called
WorldCoin, yeah.
WorldCoin.
Yeah.
But the thing is, what he was doing was, he was saying, we'll give you a couple of our coins if you allow us to take your retinal scan. And they went, hang on, get out. You're just data collecting, hallmarking everything. This is just a big, no, it's not happening. So they actually told him this has got to cease. It's got to cease. And Altman just said, well, you know, AI's coming and this has got to be proof of personhood. Personhood? It's just in case a robot wants to come in and use its own retinal scan, hey? Is he for real?
I did see something about this the other day. He had a, there are these little orbs that his company makes. And
yeah, they're called orbs. They are actually called orbs, yeah.
Yes. Yeah, and it scans your eye.
Yeah.
I have to see if I can find it. But yeah, I did, here it is right here. Basically, it looks, this is a concept drawing, but this is essentially what it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so they're up in arms about personal data and privacy, and he's just gathering it all. And I wonder how many people he's got already. And I bet he sold that data.
I don't know. And I saw something, let me see, what Financial Times did a piece on it. I saw something a few years ago about this, or a couple of years ago, I think. I don't know. It's been a while, but I did see it to where that was the cost of, like, that's, you know, no pun intended, that was the cost of getting into the world coin market was,
yeah,
you're going to have to give up.
You got in and they gave you a few coins.
Yeah.
And that's what you had to do.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, and I don't even know what they're valued at.
They've been told to desist in Spain.
Well, so I'll be honest with you, I don't. What, does nobody care? I shouldn't even ask the question anymore, because does anybody care about privacy anymore? Yeah. Yeah. We went from, oh my God, we have to keep our privacy, to, you're going to have to give up a sample of your DNA to go into this business, you know, or to get onto this airplane, you know, excuse me. Like, they went from that to that overnight with COVID.
To you want me to give up my privacy? How much?
Hey, you give me a few coins? Sure. Yeah, I'll take that.
Yeah, you can have a retinal scan. Yeah, no way. What else? Oh, the latest one to fall to debt to the IMF, Egypt.
What was Egypt not doing?
Egypt was going into debt, yeah. It's been having a bit of a roll. And the IMF approached them, I think it was 2022.
The lender,
and it was
last
about,
resort.
The figure was about $3 billion, yeah? $3 billion worth of debt, yeah? So
$3 billion of debt at 3 billion% interest, I'm betting you're going to tell me.
Well, no. They didn't do anything then. Now, what they had to do, it's more than that. It is more than that, because they've made Egypt has now devalued their Egyptian pound by 40%.
I did see that, yeah. I saw 40%
devaluation. They made them devalue their, and then they've gone, we'll give you $8 billion. So basically, they've made them devalue by 40%. That 3 billion is now expanded to whatever. They've taken them on with 8 billion debt. They've buried them with that. They're as good as gone. They're under the thumb.
Uh-huh. Do you know what this is? I liken this to the mob that goes in and muscles over a business, you know, like the business owner's in trouble. He's got a gambling problem or something. So he goes to the sharks and says, I need your help. You know, I just need $250,000 to clear this. And next thing you know, his business is getting busted out. Everything's getting trucked out the back door because you just keep getting further and further into hawk to these people. Yeah. And that's all the IMF and the World Bank and these things do.
They're all doing it. Debt is something you can never afford.
They do the same thing to African countries. They do that all the obviously Egypt's in Africa, but sub-Saharan African countries, they do that all the time.
Yeah, I mean, I remember the 70s, even the 80s, where they're going to forgive a lot of African countries' debt or whatever and this and that. But it was all a twist to gain something. We'll forgive it if you... And that was it. Nothing. You don't get a free lunch. Never get a free lunch. No. Big mess in Haiti. That's getting worse.
Yes, I did see there's a lot of cannibalism going on down there now. I did see that. It was a headline yesterday, I think. Some of the gangs are turning to cannibalism.
Well, you know, wherever the UN's got its f***ing footprint, it just gets worse. It's just get worse. So there is it a prime minister in Haiti? I can't remember.
I think it's president. Haitian president, I think it is.
Yeah. Well, he was off to Nigeria and Africa because he went off to pay them a visit. I'll just look. Prime Minister Ariel Henry. Prime Minister. Sorry. He headed home. He was at Kenya and he got an agreement signed on the 1st of March. They're going to supply 1,000 police to lead a UN multinational force in Haiti. The Nigerians are.
Interesting. This headline literally just dropped right now as you're talking. Haiti hell. State of emergency and curfew extended. Looted port is shut, prompting fears of famine. American citizens in the country have no way of escaping.
Well, basically, Benin has offered 2,000 troops last week.
Prime Minister, you were right.
The US has offered money, $200 million. Canada has pledged... 60 million. Haiti apparently has about 9,000 police. Now, yeah, they've entered a state of emergency. That's night curfews as from Sunday night. But the problem they've got is the gangs have overrun their two main prisons and released all the inmates.
Yes, 5,000 inmates were released, yes.
Yeah, 5,250.
Excuse me. What's a couple of hundred convicted criminals amongst friends?
A couple of hundred idiots running at you with bits of stick.
Stick and guns, fully automatic weapons,
Apparently, there's a couple of hundred gangs out there at the moment as well. But the thing is, this has been going on for quite a while now and building up, yes?
Yes, it has. Yeah, it's
but
been
the UN,
a ticking time bomb, yeah.
The UN are spending time to gather this data and do the media hype and actually not do a damn thing. So they're letting it go into meltdown just like they do. It's a critical point. It's just mad. It's a bloody war zone, really, isn't it? And once again,
it's
if the UN's got...
literal hell on earth, I wouldn't want to be stuck down there.
If anybody looked into what the UN has actually done, not the media hype, they've actually done beneficial to anything, they'll be surprised at what they don't find.
I'd like to point out that one of the rebel leaders down there, his name is Barbecue.
Yes, it's Barbecue, I know.
Barbecue, yes.
Johnny Barbecue something.
Jimmy
I can't what it
Barbecue.
Is. Jimmy
Barbecue Scherizer,
something.
Yeah.
That's it. That's it.
Barbecue.
Yeah, I didn't want to put his name out there. You know what I mean?
Well, sorry. It's all over Twitter. It's Barbecue, this guy running around down there.
So, yeah, Haiti is in a mess, and it's been in a mess for a very, very long time. I remember speaking about this quite a while ago, when it started to kick off. And, yeah, it's been allowed to get into a real bad state. People are dying. The UN does not care. The UN does not care.
No, and it'll turn in.
Its own.
It'll turn into another, basically like a half-failed state like Somalia, where you'll have warlords and everything else. It'll just be a failed
state. No. Somehow this is going to go in. They're going to let this deteriorate into a war zone.
Yes. Yeah, that's what I mean, is they'll let it turn
and
into a failed state.
And they're going to let people, kill whatever. Yep. And I don't know who's going to end up owning it, because it's not a very big place, Haiti.
No, it does border the Dominican Republic. There's a land crossing there, so I don't know if there's a, you know, and then you've got it's impossible right now to travel from Port-au-Prince. That's that whole route is now taken over by
Port-au-Prince is where gangs. It's all happening.
Yeah, it's all taken over by gangs. And they say there's no widely used ports for passenger travel. Like all the passenger ports are now blocked.
Oh yeah, they're just letting that go to bits. They are allowing it. Talking of nasty. There's a nasty company lobbying again in the US.
You have to be more specific because we have so many nasty companies that lobby.
You know that company that bought out Monsanto?
Bayer AG, yeah.
Yeah.
The German company.
Yeah. Well, they're lobbying because they want the US to make a decree to stop them having to pay out.
Of course. By the way, we keep violating all of your laws and we keep getting fined. So could you possibly write us an exemption so we don't have to continue to pay those fines? That'd be really great. Thanks. Who's campaign do we need to contribute to around here to make sure that happens?
Well, yeah, exactly. I mean, was it? They're trying to persuade the U.S. to pass legislation that would cut billions of dollars in liability and reduce the legal threat to the German company facing the allegedly carcinogenic weed killer problem. You know, because they took that on from Monsanto, didn't they?
They did. That was a liability from the start.
So they took that on, and now they've taken it on, and they're giving it, well, that's not fair. Yeah, it is. You knew about it in the first place.
You bought the company. They put
$10.9 billion to the side to pay for it. They knew it was that bad, and they still ain't finished. And now they want to squash it. But if anybody wants to know the sort of, yes, you've got the American public saying this is bad, people have suffered. I did a piece on Argentina about Monsanto and about, remember the herbicides and the GM stuff and everything like that down there? Yep.
Roundup.
And the kids that are really suffering.
Yep.
Yeah. And go have a look. Argentina, it's been a mess since pre-millennia, about 1996 onwards, people. And you will see what these sort of companies do. And no, it's not nice. And all they're doing, they don't care about the people. This is a bitch. They care about money. And this is what this is all about. So, no, hopefully nobody will actually listen to them. But you never know. Money speaks, eh? But there is something really interesting in America happening at the moment. 28 states have now signed the constitutional carry law.
That's good. I like that.
That's the latest one was Louisiana. That means if you're over 21, you can carry a personal arm without a government permit.
Yes, I'm actually for that.
28 states now, so that's more than half of your country. So that sort of bolsters your Second Amendment quite well, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does, yeah. Quite frankly, that should be all 50 states. That should be a 9-0 Supreme Court.
Yeah, but I thought I'd give a thumbs up to that one.
Yeah, well, I still say, and we kind of have to say this as an unofficial disclaimer, I still say that even though that is the case, and I agree with that ruling of those 28 states that they've taken that stance. I think that's fantastic. You know, I come from the state of Ohio. It's an open carry state.
It should be policed to some level.
But at the same time, I also believe that there's a major element here of personal responsibility. If you are going to carry a firearm and you fit all the criteria in the United States in order to do that, then you need to be able to understand how to operate that firearm and handle it correctly. Yeah, because if you don't,
Johnny, that actually goes from the ability to actually physically, if you know how to physically disable somebody or harm them yourselves without a weapon, with a weapon, it actually goes up, it escalates. You have to be aware of everything.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. It's personal responsibility. It is. I still recommend to people, and I will continue to do so, if you do not have proper firearm training, go and take a class.
Get it.
They offer them all the time, you know, and that some of these classes are very inexpensive to take, and it takes a day or two. Go learn how to do it.
You have to have a safe place to keep it as well.
Absolutely.
Especially if you've got children.
Yeah.
Because children don't understand. Children do not understand. It will be because there's far too many electronic games out there where they will just envisage that maybe if they shoot you, you'll respawn.
Yeah, I'll just respawn. That's fine. Just press X here and I'll respawn.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, it's a psychological itch. You've really got to be careful. I totally agree with you, Johnny. China.
OK. God, what an what a blight on the world. All right, what about
well,
is this about what I said yesterday? The force for peace.
I mean, we've had them pile money into EVs, and we've got fields of EVs. We've had them pile money into those mountains of bikes. We've had these ghost cities. We've had God knows what else, yeah? But now China is taking steps to level the playing field, it said, for the AI startup companies. 17 cities in China have pledged to provide computing vouchers. It's to subsidize AI startups facing the cost of data centers and the cost of chips, they say. It's equivalent of between $140,000 and $280,000. Now, according to the official announcement, yeah, this is for the uses of this are for the time in the AI data centers to train and run companies, what their language models, you know, that's what they call it. So the internet companies, Alibaba, yeah, Tencent, ByteDance,
as TikTok,
yeah, TikTok, yeah, I know, have taken measures to limit the rental of Nvidia's GPUs. So China is also creating an alternative. Here we go. This is where, if you dig a bit, then you find out the real answer. China is also creating an alternative to big tech's data centers and cloud services. AI is going to be a state-run network of data centers and online platforms. Oh, and what they're going to do with all that data then, are they? They're just giving out vouchers so we can have...
Build their social credit system is what they're going to do. And
so
by the way, I'd like
to create a network of them.
Of course they are. And I'm sorry, what companies are involved with this? Not the Chinese companies. I'm talking about what Western companies have been duped to go over there and allow this bullshit to happen.
Oh, well, all of them. It's all about money, isn't it? Yeah.
All of them. Broadcom, Nvidia.
There is a bit of a negative happening. You know about these ghost cities. These ghost cities, and they're not building any more of these ghost cities at the moment because of all the steel and everything that went into building all these bloody things, yeah?
Yeah.
Well, the bottom's dropped out of the iron ore market, isn't it?
I was going to say they're out of money. So they
dropped. If you look at the state of the iron ore market, it has hit the bottom. It really has. So basically, they've got store upon store of it, and again, got anything to do with it now. So yeah, that's causing a bit of a ruckus at the moment.
By the way, I'd just like to point out their lithium market has crashed as well.
Oh yeah, well that happened the other day.
Yeah,
That didn't really happen the other day. Yeah, yeah, that was really interesting. Oh, good. I'm so glad. But and here's one for the climate people, yeah, right, for you climate hacks. This is to do with China, you climate hacks, yeah, that go around pissing off our farmers and everything to do with their cows and everything else out there, yeah, will you kindly piss off? Because here's a number that the farmers really in the world, Western world, really need to know. You see, China suffered something between 2018 and 2021, their pig herds suffered from a massive outbreak of African swine fever, apparently. But the herds have seemed to have recovered, even to the point of overcapacity, right? Now, how big do you think these Chinese herds of pigs are?
I have seen
in a comparison to the rest of the world.
I have seen them before because pork is a staple food in China. So they are they are massive.
Yeah, well, they have always had about half of the global total of the global market in pigs.
Yes, pork, and as a matter of fact, to that point, the Chinese actually bought the U.S.'s largest pork producer. They renamed it to something called Shenhua Foods, and they found that was unpopular. People didn't like that. So they renamed it to Smithfield Foods because, you know, but it's wholly owned lock, stock, and barrel by China.
Oh, yeah. I want to know why we're throttling our farmers over their cattle when a country who doesn't give a toss, right? So it doesn't matter how many cows fart in the world, right? Or other cattle fart and give off whatever. There are, by the count in 2023, 434 million pigs. 434 million pigs in China. That's a lot of pigs.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, during COVID, I think they had to, or maybe it was pre-COVID, There was some type of a swine disease that went around, and they had to call half of their herd. Yeah.
2018 to 2021, there was the African swine fever.
That was it.
You weren't paying attention, Johnny.
I'm sorry. I was queuing up the next clip because you said climate, so I had to get John Kerry ready.
Picking your nose?
No, I had to get John Kerry ready.
No.
Yes.
No, he does. Yes.
He is there.
He's
up next. I had to get the levels right, so that's what I was
doing. Okay, look, I've got one more little itch about China.
Yeah, go ahead.
One more little itch about China, yeah? And then we'll talk about the Western China, Canada. But we'll have John Kerry in between.
Got to have Kerry first,
right. Yeah. The Western world has got no room to move on anything about cattle, yeah, and farmers and anything to make it green or whatever, when a massive herd of creatures like that are out there in an uncut. You will not make a difference. The other thing is, they announced their defense budget, didn't they, the other day? Yeah.
Yes, they
officially,
did.
Officially, they're only doing an increase of 7.2%. But the belief is that the spending on the military is really 30 to 30% higher than what is given out at present. So they are actually ramping up.
Yes, they are. They are switching to a military economy.
Yep. And, they had a lot. I mean, if people actually pay attention, they're doing the old marchy-marchy thing and everything else, and they're starting to show the people's army.
Yes.
And getting So that is a sure sign when you start seeing that they're starting to ramp up the military to get people interested, to become a frontline meat grinder.
Yes. When you start mobilization, you're just looking for a body count at that point.
Are we going to have to listen to this git?
The only reason we have to listen to this git is because you mentioned him in soundcheck, so in prep. So we have to hear him.
Go on in, if you
must. I believe that Russia has the ability to be able to make enormous changes if it really wanted to. I mean, if Russia has the ability to wage a war illegally and invade another country, they ought to be able to find the effort to be responsible in the climate issue. Unfortunately, because of the actions that Russia took in an unprovoked illegal war against another nation, we have not been engaged in discussions with Russia, sadly. I say sadly because it's a loss for the world not to be able to have Russia acting constructively on this issue. But we need every country, including Russia. Russia is one of the largest emitters in the world. If Russia wanted to show good faith, they could go out and announce what their reductions are going to be and make a greater effort to reduce emissions now. And maybe that would open up the door for people to feel better about what Russia is choosing to do at this point in time.
You see, I can envision Russia cutting their emissions down, can't you?
Well, I'll tell you one emission I'd cut at the moment. Who that would be?
That would be that gentleman right there on screen. That's an emission that does not need that's a greenhouse gas.
That is far too much hot air. I'm capturing carbon. You're a carbon life form. Bye-bye. No. That's pathetic for any form of politician or outspoken person to come out with that garbage. It's just, he even said it without a smile on his face. Not that he believed any of it, because he'll be talking about something else tomorrow.
No.
He's in his new job.
Yeah, he'll take
whatever
a new job
that
and
is.
He'll be talking about something else.
Yeah.
And his replacement.
Take a job.
His replacement, John Podesta, you know, as the climate czar. You know who Podesta is, don't you? The Clinton, yeah?
But it's just another puppet.
Yeah, of course it is. Of course it is.
I mean, can I talk about the other China now?
Yes, you go ahead. Is this about the 6 boxes of products that I was telling you about in prep? Is that what you want to comment on? It's not? Okay. All right. That was delivered to the military base for the men's laboratory.
I found something really amusing. Okay. Do you know who the author Philip K. Dick is?
Yes. I don't know any of the publications, but I know the author's name, yes.
Right. He was a science fiction man from the pulp era or whatever. He actually wrote, they've done films, several things from his books, right? One of the most abstract one was Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep? And that was turned into Blade Runner.
Okay.
Yeah?
All right.
Heard of Blade Runner? Brilliant.
Yeah,
film.
Of course. Yeah.
And there are so many other things. I mean, they did a series on one of the platforms as if like a different future where if Japan and Germany had won the war and that sort of thing and how it is and stuff like that. And they did another film from one of his books called A Minority Report. Remember that with...
Tom Cruise. Yeah, yeah.
With Tom Cruise. Do you remember what that was all about?
Yeah, I do. It was pre-crime, yeah.
Preventing pre-crime?
Yeah.
Yeah? Bit of a dystopian thing, yeah?
Yeah.
Well, Canada's doing a bit of that.
Who'd have thought? With Trudeau at the helm and Freeland backing him up on deck, so, you know, nothing surprises
This online
me.
Legislation preventing pre-crime. If someone is suspected of a chance of committing a hate crime, you can put them under house arrest. Yeah. If they're contemplating it, who chooses whether they're contemplating it? How does that work? How do you establish that? Life sentences for hate crimes they want to push.
Life sentences?
For hate crimes.
What's a hate crime?
Exactly.
According to this,
hate crime?
Yeah, there was. I was reading an article the other day. This guy, this 19-year-old kid, got in his pickup truck and drove down to the local, one of the crosswalks that was painted like a rainbow color for the LGBTQ community, right? And burned his tires. Yeah, he was upset about it. He burned his tires all the way across. He got charged with a hate crime.
He didn't hate him.
So
he just didn't like it.
He
took a dislike to it.
So he should get life in prison for that under this?
Well, no, he took a dislike that somebody had painted all over his roads. That's a very hateful thing to do.
Apparently
it was meant to be. Look, hang on. I drive down these roads safely. I'm used to seeing the white lines. And you're messing up my eyesight with all these colours. I find that destructive. I find it dangerous. I'm colourblind. How do you expect me to put up with that? This is distorting my vision. If somebody gets hurt, hang on, you hateful bastards. Why did you paint it that colour?
To be inclusive.
yeah, right, exactly. So who committed the crime first?
It's the chicken and the egg.
Shove it up your ass. That's a road. Don't paint the wrong thing on it.
I thought Marty was the one with the considered and informed opinion.
Yeah, but I mean, that's a fair point of view, isn't it?
It is, yes.
You do not want a distraction on the road. Right then. Shove your multicoloured zebra flags where they hate and the sun don't shine. Right, so this pre-crime crap is going to be wound in by all this digital shit, which you can't afford to do. This is really bad. This hate crime stuff, there is no hate crimes as such. If somebody commits a crime, it's a crime, yeah? They have to commit it. If that guy got upset about somebody doing that on the road, that is exactly what I would say as mitigation if I ended up in court. That was abuse of the actual road. The highway laws. It should not be on there. It's not safe. It's wrong. If you want to wave a flag or you have an opinion, fine. What happens when people actually graffiti the walls?
Well, now that is considered to be art on public display.
Yeah, yeah. But let them put the wall, let them graffiti the walls like an advertisement, fine. But not the road. The road is specific. It's meant to be safe. White lines, no parking, whatever. No, that's not safe as far as I'm concerned. Okay? LGBT.
Fair enough. Back to the Canada.
I don't care what people want to do. They can have their uninformed opinions, but everybody's got to be entitled to have their opinion. This is what really annoys me is when somebody goes, you have to call me this. I don't. I don't have to call you anything. If you don't believe there is a biological male and female, well, who gave birth to you? Sorry? Start somewhere with a bit of common sense. If you want to identify as something, off you go. If you can't climb out of your nappies and you can't stop playing Indians and cowboys and you want to identify as something, carry on. But don't expect me to employ you just because you're a hat rack.
I haven't heard a hat rack yet. That's a good one. I've heard just about everything else. I saw a video yesterday of this woman that was on a podcast and she was a dog. Like she identified as a dog. But then she expected to be treated as an equal in a relationship. You just can't make sense of it.
Yeah. I mean, even when somebody says, I mean, teenagers will spout it about music or whatever. People will say things, oh, I hate that. But they don't actually hate it. They just dislike it a lot and it annoys them. And that word is just put there. It is so hard to hate something because hate drives fanaticism. That it's got hate only appears at fanaticism level, yeah, not at the normal level. They can use that word or misuse the word, but it is just saying I thoroughly dislike this. Yeah. And this common sense, when you've got a society that doesn't use common sense and they just want to politically drive everything, well, it's fallen to bits. I'm sorry. Did you know a couple of ships went through the ice up to northern Russia the other day?
No.
They were carrying metal structures of about 80 meters tall.
No. Were they? I'm assuming they were icebreakers, or were they?
Oh, no. The Russian icebreakers came out to help them through. Like okay. They do normally with any commercial shipping, yeah?
Uh-huh.
But they were actually taking, it was a six-week voyage. There was two ships, yeah? And they were delivering two large metal structures. They were actually manufactured in China to go to the liquefied natural gas project in northern Russia.
Okay. Oh, were these gas turbines?
No, they were just metal structures.
Oh, okay. So just like housing things?
Yeah, but yeah. Because basically... because of the US and Europe and even the UK, I've gone from the UK, we said basically any non-compliance is punishable through large financial penalties or criminal prosecution on any sanctions we've made. You're not to do this. But have you heard of Philip Atkins? He's
no.
Basically... He's US born. He's Red Box Energy is the they're incorporated in Singapore. Yeah, they've got an office in Rotterdam.
Yeah, of course. Double Dutch. Yeah, get rid of the tax.
Yeah, he's. I mean, his history is basically he was a former Hollywood banker. He had a lot to do with the British Olympic setup. He's a friend of the royal family, sort of thing, or was. Uh-huh.
So he's Greece then. Got it.
So he had two ships called the Audax and the Pugnax. I presume that's how you actually sound it. I just did it phonetically. And he just basically said, if someone's paying us to deliver, we deliver. It's simple steel frames untouched by sanctions, right? So, yeah. So the icebreakers met them and they went through. The nice thing he actually said, because basically he said, the politicians who are running the world don't really give a rat's arse about me and my employees. We are not in a position to just turn the lights off and wait for the outbreak of world peace. And he said, each vessel is earning $100,000 to $120,000 a day on the voyage to Murmansk. This could mean anything up to 12.5 million total, which is triple the usual transporting of items to Europe.
Yeah.
Well, I personally say, if it's not on the sanctions, well on you.
There's a lot of companies that are actually doing that. That's not the first time I've heard that. There's another company.
Oh, I mean, we've had the Greek ones that have been,
yes.
The Greek shipping that have been, yeah, transporting all sorts, yes, of stuff.
Yeah.
But.
And the Russians have actually been getting around the sanctions by buying old Greek vessels that they're not,
yeah,
using anymore.
They have.
So they've been doing that too. And there's another company I was reading about. I'm not ready to talk about it yet, but there's another company I'm looking into. The actual company was questioned about it, and they said that they don't have any control over where their end users actually are, which I think is nonsense, but that's another conversation for another day.
I mean, basically, if it was something like you said, turbines and machinery and stuff like that, that is well into the sanctions and everything else. So it was just steel frames. Yeah.
We'll
just
all right, well,
to the listeners.
Yes, we are going to have to go, so I do apologize, but we will go ahead and call this one done. It's been an absolute pleasure, my friend. I will see you next week, yes?
I'll be about.
Very good.
There's always something going on.
There is, like icebreakers north of the Arctic Circle. Couldn't make it up. All right, I will speak to you next week. Thank you for being here today, my friend. Thank you to all the listeners. God bless everyone, and have a great evening.
Good night, all.